The views and opinions expressed during the drive time with Dave Glover are those of Dave and his guests, and not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment for Dave? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now, here's Dave.
Yeah, Moody Manitoba here on Northumberland 89.7. I'm Dave Glover. Welcome back to the Drive Time. Joining me now in the studio, Rob Washburn for our weekly installment of Consider This. And today we have two incredible guests in the studio, two ladies that probably need no introduction. But since you have no idea who they are, we're going to just go ahead and introduce them. Linda Isak and Linda Kay. Linda Kay, you know, is with the United Way. And Linda Isak, you know what? I'm not exactly sure what your title is, Linda.
Yes, I work at the United Way and work in the community and outreach in the community.
There you go. So she is an integral part of what is going on over there. Today we are going to be talking about a new action plan, I guess, Action for Community Change. Is that correct, Linda?
Well, that was the name of the project that we've been working on through funding from the Ontario Trillium Foundation. So we call it that, Action for Community Change. So we're just in the final stages of that.
Well, we're going to go through the report, but obviously there were a number of things. You had community conversations throughout the county. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys were up in Camelford and Warkworth, obviously Port Hope, Cobourg, yep. Cramie. Can we talk about how some of those conversations went?
Sure we can. Maybe we'll give you a little bit of background about how we started the project.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So the Ontario Trillium Foundation actually funded this project, and it was a 2.5-year project. And we had 4 United Ways involved. So from Sault Ste. Marie, Brockville, which is Leeds and Grenville, Oxford, which is Woodstock, and Northumberland. So through the project, we hired Linda as one of our project facilitators here. And, you know, we came up with the name of Action for Community Change. And the whole idea was to go out into our communities and have community conversations to get a better understanding of the priorities throughout Northumberland County. And one of the things our project managers, Joanne Lindsay and Susan Taylor Simpson, who helped all 4 United Ways through the project, they are what we call Harwood coaches, and they've really followed a process of Rich Harwood, who is in the U.S., and he really believes in turning outward and going out into the community and actually having very grassroots conversations
right.
and gathering public knowledge from those conversations.
So that approach, that's a very different approach than oftentimes is used in political consultations or institutional consultations. Can you just elaborate upon that a little bit more and help explain how it's different when you talk about reaching out? Because in your report, you talk about deepening the understanding of communities. So can you maybe explain that a bit?
I can talk a little bit about it. Linda, how about you?
I'll talk a little bit about that. The idea was is that you go right to the residents themselves rather than to people that provide services necessarily. So instead of going to somebody that is paid to provide services, you actually talk to people. So, for example, we went to Colborne and met with a men's group that met every week, seniors men's group, and they had coffee every week, and we met with them to talk to them about what their issues were. And it's really fascinating the things that come up, because sometimes you think that, oh, I'm meeting a group of senior men, you have a preconceived idea of what interests them, and really it's quite different sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more then about the different groups that you met? Maybe do you have, you mentioned the men's group. Is there other groups that you particularly remember that were interesting or different when you talked to them?
Sure. Like the first group we met was the team program at the former East High School, and that's a group of teenage mothers. There were about 14 of them, and that was fascinating too, because we just assumed that they'd be interested in certain things, and they're really very concerned with their babies, obviously, but also their education and how they can finish high school in order to help themselves get out of the situation and improve their own lives.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So in doing this kind of an approach, how does it sort of change your understanding of the issues that are really in front of us by talking to these people in this manner?
I think, you know, Rob, what was interesting is you're going, you know, it was a very low-tech, very sort of kitchen table conversation, right? So we didn't go in there with projectors and PowerPoint presentations or anything like that. It was just very, very low-tech. So, you know, when you asked them about their aspirations or what their main issues were on that, it was just really fascinating to hear their responses and to think about what, you know, what they could see as that could be some solutions in their community. Some very simple. You know, sometimes I think we go in and, I mean, I've got to say over the years that I've been involved with United Way, sometimes you think, okay, well, they say they need transportation, so let's fund transportation and that'll solve their problem. But that doesn't solve the problem, right? So, you know, it's been, it's just really interesting in talking to them, the feedback we get and the thoughts that they have in those conversations and how, you know, little things can make a big difference for them. And sometimes I think we just assume too much without actually asking the people what is it they really want or what it is they really need, you know. And so, yeah, I think, you know, we took a number of volunteers from our board and we had volunteer facilitators. And they all found it such a positive and enriching experience to be having these conversations. And the other thing was we went to them. We didn't say come to us. We went to them. You know, Linda set up things and actually went to team or we went to some of the local food banks across the county or we went, you know, to trying to think some
seniors.
Of the other, seniors. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've done a lot in Warkworth. Here is a community that doesn't have a grocery store and doesn't have a gas station. So food security is an issue in that, in that community. So, you know, people without a car, how do you get to the grocery store? How do you get up to Campbellford or how
do
you?
I have to ask, I mean, what was the reaction from these people to have you actually coming to them to ask the questions instead of having you going, oh, I see your need. I'm going to fill that need for you. When they go, well, I do have a need and that sort of helps, but this is what we really need. And just to have you coming to them.
Yeah, they were very grateful, actually. It was very interesting that not very many times do people actually ask people what they want, you know, especially if they're sort of just, you know, a senior or a high school student. People don't really ask them what they want in their future or how they see the community. So I would say overall they're very thankful. We spent at least 90 minutes with them, and we did try to keep the group quite small, so maybe, you know, 12, 14 people. So everyone had a chance to contribute to the discussion. And then we just recorded the information on flip charts and just gathered the information. So one thing that's interesting is, like, when we went to seniors, you would think that seniors would be interested in senior issues. But a lot of the time they're interested in other issues. For example, a number of seniors are concerned about their children who are in their 40s not being able to afford housing in Northumberland and having to move to the city in order to get work or to afford a lifestyle here. So that was interesting to hear that what you thought you would hear is not necessarily what you heard.
Well, and it's funny because that was a question I used to raise with Mel Lastman when he used to do his call-in show on Cable 10. I mean, because one of the rules they implemented in North York was this whole idea of single-family dwellings. I don't think we have rules quite as stringent here, but the residences were for that. You couldn't have in-law suites. You couldn't have apartments in your house. And that was forcing a whole demographic of kids who were growing up in North York ultimately to either be able to buy their own home when they first moved out, or they're moving out of North York. And that's what we're seeing here because of the price of housing. I mean, just to get a bachelor pad or a one-bedroom apartment or even just a room here is often cost prohibitive, especially with the income levels that people have.
We certainly heard that. And the other issue that we heard that was very interesting and I hadn't heard before is the seniors that are in the rural areas, a lot of them don't actually want to move. When they get older and maybe their house is not appropriate, they still want to live in the area that they're in. So if they're in, for example, in Colburn, they don't necessarily want to move to Cobourg after they're when they're a little bit older. They want to find appropriate housing in the area that they're living.
Well, and again, so poverty, obviously a huge issue. People are talking about that, but they're also wanting solutions on a whole bunch of other things, right? Like how is it they can maintain the communities? I'm sure sustainability mm-hmm. within the communities mm-hmm. are very important things. One of the things I ranted about earlier today was this idea of spending your money within the community. Mm-hmm. And that's what this kind of reaching out does, because we know that if you spend $5 in this community, that's going to circulate within the community at least yeah. five mm-hmm. times. But mm-hmm. any money that's spent outside, well, that's outside. That's not coming mm-hmm. back. Mm-hmm. And was that something that came up in conversations, the idea of bringing the economy closer to home?
I would say certainly they were interested in having availability of services, even if that was like a store nearby where they could buy the groceries. That was certainly something that came out, that they don't want to have transportation in order to get things that they want.
I mean, some of the other things we heard from youth on the education and sort of skills training things, you know, it's very expensive to travel to get out of Northumberland County mm-hmm. in order to further your education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's the possibility of having courses here or looking at ways that it's easier for them to get to further their education? So, I mean, we heard that a lot. That it's a real challenge for them mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. get their post-secondary. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I know, Rob, you're with the Loyalist, and the president of Durham College was at Rotary not too long ago, and I just said, have we ever thought about how we might be able to set up a system at busing or something that would get the kids, give them the opportunity to mm-hmm. have that transportation to get to college.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's that level of innovation that's really at the heart of this mm-hmm. Discussion that we're mm-hmm. having is the need for looking for different kinds of solutions,
mm-hmm.
not
right.
the standard solutions. Because we've been talking quite a number of times about transportation. That was something I found when reading through the report. There was this thread, two things that struck me. One was the talk about poverty, but also this thread about transportation. It's mm-hmm. it's such a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
In your follow-up to this, have you been able to look at it any further or see any viable solutions to start to address some of these? Because I know there's been chances in the past.
Well, what we're doing, Rob, right now is we're in the final phase of this project. And so we have taken all this public knowledge, and we've got about 30 people working with us. And United Way has three focus areas: poverty to possibility, strong communities, and all that kids can be. So we have experts in those areas, shall we say, mm-hmm. and they're taking this public knowledge, and we're looking at developing strategies from that public knowledge and getting three or four strategies for each of those areas, and then we're looking at how do we take those strategies mm-hmm. and look at long-term investments in them. Because, you know, today you just can't, you know, short-term, you know, it's fine, but it doesn't always fix the problem. So we have to look at how mm-hmm. better can we invest our dollars for greater impact and longer impact. And certainly that's what we're working on right now.
Now, are people relying too much, you think, on the United Way for so many services now that quite frankly, in the past, they didn't have to rely on the United Way for?
Well, I think...
I mean, are there things that you guys are funding now that rightly should be funded by another form?
Well, I mean, there's always sometimes things we get asked to fund that the government might have funded in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say, I mean, we try to partner with other organizations. I mean, the county, of course, has a huge budget. The Department of Community and Social Services is doing a lot of work and some innovative work and supporting services in the community. You know, we work with a lot of different agencies to find some solutions and, mm-hmm. You know, you look like organizations like Greenwood that have sprung up and are doing great work in Port Hope and have done, you know, fantastic work to help low-income and homeless in Port Hope. And I think partnerships like that really help to bring about some good solutions in mm-hmm. the community. But, you know... Well, it's a challenge.
Well, it seems, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned Greenwood Coalition because, again, they're doing one of the things that David Sheffield talked about was this duplication of services that are being provided by various mm-hmm. service groups
mm-hmm.
because the need's just there and it's so overwhelming. And he said he looks forward to the day when those services won't be needed anymore, as
yeah.
everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit about that and this duplication of services that is out there and why do we have so many duplications of services?
Why do we have them? I think, you know, as different needs sprung up, over the years, different programs have come into place or agencies have taken on a role or, you know, I think you find organizations sometimes mission drift because of the need to find funds, you know. Today, funding's so much different than it was 10 years ago, I mean, or even 15 years ago. There's a lot more sustainable funding out there. There was a lot more. I mean, many organizations survive on grants now. You know, Trillium's a big grantee, or, there's a lot of government grants you can get, but they're not long-term, right? So they're looking at ways to maintain their base, but also thinking of other ways they can help in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, and there's been a lot of talk in the last few years about making sure we're sitting down and really mapping what's going on in the community and then looking at, you know, what are the duplications of services? How can we work together? And the thing is that with the funding crunch that we're all under, we are going to see shifts in services now because not everybody can keep themselves, they can't sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that groups sit down and work together to provide services in the community because there's only so much money out there. And we have to be creative and innovative.
Well, exactly.
Like you talked about, Rob, that whole thing of looking how we can be creative and innovative.
Right.
And you know, you look at Greenwood, they've been very creative and innovative, very, very grassroots, you know, and really this is what we've been, very grassroots going out in the community. And it's amazing what people... When we look at what we've done in Warkworth, it's been very creative and innovative.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to hear more about this Warkworth project.
So what happened is we went to Warkworth for the first community conversation. And there's a lot of things going on in Warkworth. They have a great community of a lot of people interested in doing volunteer work and a lot of things going on there. But one of the women that was at that group talked about the fact that there is no grocery store and there is no gas station, and that if you are a lower income person, that this does have an effect in your life. So what we did from then is we met with a group from Warkworth and we said, you know, we want to listen to more about sort of what your life is like. So we met with them for a few times, and we decided that it would be a good idea to partner with them and see what we could do there in terms of helping them establish something. And what they decided that they would want is a monthly lunch. So the idea is that they had a food kitchen, a food bank, and so they had some food in a kitchen and a place to have a lunch every month, and they had volunteers. And of course, the lunch is much more than just feeding people. It's a lot about socialization.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really important part of this idea of getting neighbors together, getting people together. And we decided right from the get-go it would be free and that we'd advertise it to everybody. And what it's kind of evolved into is a lunch, but also we bring in a speaker every time. And the speaker only speaks for like 3 or 4 minutes, but it's somebody from the community. So, for example, we had somebody from Habitat talking about a program for home maintenance. We had somebody, I'm trying to think of who else.
Oh, we've had transportation.
Transportation,
we've had the NTI project. We've had the Help Center up there on a regular basis. So what the lunch also does is connect the individuals that come to services.
Yes.
Because that's the other big issue that we heard is actually finding out what services are available and how to navigate the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have each of these speakers there, you know, they'll talk about, hey, this is who we are, and if you want to come and learn more about us, come and see us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's happening now is that when we've got the Marilyn Alday comes from the county.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's been to a number of meetings, and so people are becoming more aware of how to connect to services.
Yes.
You know, we've done a new innovative program with Habitat. We're the first United Way in Canada to do this with Habitat. So we gave them a grant of $15,000, and it's for a microloan program. And that program is to do home repairs for people, low-income families and such. So they can apply to Habitat, and it becomes a loan. It's a loan, but they work out payments. They're not, you know, whatever they can afford. It's, you know. But the whole idea is that if you pay towards the home repair, then somebody else will get a home repair done. Like you pay it forward all the time.
Right.
So in talking to Habitat, you know, Karen Stinson was up there and she talked about the program, and they actually had somebody approach them and they're working with them to look at doing a home repair for them. Well, if they hadn't been at that lunch, they wouldn't have known about the program and they wouldn't have got the home repair done. Right.
Right.
So, you know, and so, you know, that's a great And they've been able to connect. The help center's been able to help with landlord-tenant issues, or they've been able to help with legal issues and all that.
Income tax.
Income tax is a big thing too. But bringing people here, and you get 60 people out for lunch. It's amazing, and they all come, and it's a really nice social thing. And I guess that's one of the other things we heard in the conversation was that whole issue of senior isolation and such. So, you know, getting this opportunity to come out and just sit around a table and have a very nutritious, healthy lunch. Linda just did a survey from the lunches, and people really like them. They want them to continue. And the amazing thing for us in many ways is we were up there for at least a year, and we not once did anybody say to us, can you give us any money to support the programs or anything like that? It's all been about helping to build their capacity, working together. And we're working with a number of groups, the Abundance Group up there, Gail Covert from the Food Bank, the health units involved. It's been a really neat community collaboration. And we get together. It's very positive. Every time we go up for meetings, it's just lovely. It's just that, you know, it's had a nice impact on the community.
It's amazing how the gathering around food is so critical. Yeah. David Sheffield, as we were talking about just a minute ago, does the same kind of thing, bringing people together around food to talk and to solve problems. Is this something, though, that can be replicated now? Now that you've known the success?
Sure, it is.
And have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, we have. And we're looking at, you know, where can we go next to do that? So, you know, we're thinking about how we can do that across the county. So, you know, one of the other great hubs locally really is in Bewdley. I don't know if you've been up to Bewdley Community Works, but Donna Huey and her team do a fantastic job. One of the things when you get out to the rural areas is how the food banks are that little bit of a hub, and how when individuals have to access a food bank, you know, they find a fairly warm, welcoming atmosphere where they can come in and they can chat and they can have a cup of coffee and, you know, have that opportunity to talk. And one thing for the food bank volunteers, even in Warkworth, they're learning more about services. So if somebody comes in, they can say, you're having a problem with this? Well, maybe we can suggest you can talk to this agency about it. So, again, it's connecting people, because that's the toughest thing, is really people finding out where to go and not hitting a roadblock, because that's the other thing. They hit a roadblock and then they don't go any further, right?
No, exactly.
So that's another...
And this is something, again, this is an innovation for the United Way here. I mean, this is going out into the community and finding this need and filling this need, as you've done so successfully in Warkworth, and as we know from Greenwood Coalition, they're having similar success there.
Yeah.
But it's about engaging people, right?
That's
reaching out to them.
But it's also about them leading the project. Like, they're the ones that decide, okay, we want, you know, we're thinking this lunch might be a good idea. And we said, I think we can work with that, and we can help you with that. And the survey we did, we asked them what they'd like to learn more about when we have these people in. And health was the number one. They want to learn more about health, including mental health services. And number two was financial. So things from income tax to CPP to all sorts of things like that. So we have resources that we can ask to come once a month to talk to people about that.
I'm interested. This is a very different model for the United Way.
Yeah, it is.
You normally fund organizations and groups. By reaching in and doing this kind of work, could you maybe talk a little bit about that and how it's changing your organization?
Well, you know, it's, as I said, and we got into this project because that's what we wanted to do. You know, the United Way, you know, has always been known as this federated fundraiser for many, many years. But, you know, we have been changing. You know, we're the largest... we say the largest social change organization in Canada. And we certainly, last year United Way raised over $550 million to be invested back into their local communities. But we want to be seen as engaging our communities and working with our communities to make change and having impact in the communities.
And letting the communities find the solutions that you can help bring to the table.
And that's been a real thing for us because, as I said, you know, in the past it's always been, okay, well, they're telling us this, so we should find, you know, we should put money on it, or we should, you know, look at this, blah, blah, blah. And going out and doing this, we're hearing the community's aspirations. We're hearing what they see are the main issues. And we see, they tell us what they think some of the solutions are going to be. And what was really important in those meetings, too, was we had note takers, and we were we were, you know, when we went through this process, the whole deal is to write down exactly what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't write down, okay, they're talking about there's problems with food security. You write down exactly what that person says about the issues with food or the issues
with
transportation.
What is the problem, exactly?
What is the problem? And then, you know, then you ask them what they think some of the solutions can be and how it can work. But it's engaging the community to work towards that. And as Linda said, you know, when we went into Warkworth, they have tremendous assets up there. Mm-hmm. But which is important when you go into these projects. But, you know, they're the ones that led the project. We didn't lead the project. We just worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just one of six partners, and we just worked with them and listened to them. And they were the ones that said, oh, well, maybe we can do this, and maybe we can do this. And I'm sure I can call so-and-so, and she'll come in. And, you know, and that's what – and it's – that's why I say it's such a lovely thing to go up there and be a part of it and just have this opportunity to work with a great amount of people.
Because one of the things that – oh, sorry.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. Sorry to cut you off, Rob. We're going to have to pay some bills here. But we'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors. With more of this, you're listening to Consider This on The Drive Time here, Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
The House of Wellness will be hosting an open house on February 7th from 1 till 3 p.m. Located at 711 Division Street in Coburg, this is your opportunity to have a tour of our clinic and studio, as well as chat with our practitioners. Come on in and see what our professional team can do for you. There will be door prizes and even free food sampling. For more information, give us a call at 289-252-1911 or visit our website at houseofwellness.ca.
Starting your own business is an exciting time in your life, but are you aware of your legal responsibilities as a business owner? Jim McGrath specializes in business law and knows what needs to be done to protect you and your investment. Jim has been a lawyer for over 30 years and understands the law, so you don't have to. As a local resident and an entrepreneur himself, Jim McGrath is a trusted source in our community for business owners just like you. Call 905-373-1999 and let Jim McGrath give you the legal peace of mind you need.
Hometown Bingo is your community connection for fun and excitement 7 days a week. This month at Hometown Bingo.
Monday at 7 p.m. Bingo, three strip books are only $5. Tuesday is back to basic bingo. No verifiers will be played, and we will be playing the Accumulator, Players Progressive, Mini Progressive, and the Toonie Pot. At the Wednesday 7 p.m. Bingo, you can purchase a $60 verifier and receive a free five-strip book, a $20 savings. Thursday at 7 p.m., the paper price is only $2 per strip.
Hometown Bingo in Colburn, 884 Division Street, just south of Elgin on the east side. And check out their website, hometownbingo.ca.
Jim McGrath understands that as much as we don't want to talk about it, wills and estate planning is a responsible thing to do for you and your family. With his help, you can reflect on your values and wishes and have a legal direction to let others know what kind of health and personal care you would want if you could not speak for yourself. Jim McGrath has been a lawyer for over 30 years, and he understands the law, so you don't have to. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones to call Jim McGrath today at 905-373-1999.
For over 35 years, Northumberland Security Incorporated has been providing everything necessary for physical and electronic security. From locks, alarms, safes, access control to surveillance systems, and handicap door operators. We are virtually a one-stop personal and property security center, operating from Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Visit us at 22 King Street West in Coburg, online at northumberlandsecurity.com, or call 905-372-8951, the professional security team.
The three most visited sites on the web are Google, Facebook, and YouTube. For a business to thrive in such times, they have to make use of as many of these channels as possible. Is your business marketing through these platforms? Matthews Media is now offering a selection of social media marketing packages available for any size of business. We set up, customize, and push your content across all relevant online profiles, driving prospective clients toward your business. To find out more about online and social media marketing, visit our website at matthewsmedia.ca or call 905-375-9520.
For over 25 years, Pritchard's Climate Care has been your personal climate expert in the Northumberland area. Pritchard's offers complete heating and air conditioning service and repair for your home or business. We make sure the air you breathe is healthy and comfortable. Pritchard's Climate Care has become one of Southern Ontario's most trusted installers of heating and air conditioning products. Sign up for our We Care maintenance plans and get your furnace service for half off our regular service price. Pritchard's Climate Care, we're not just your climate experts, we're your neighbors. Call us at 905-885-8216 or toll free at 1-877-791-6975.
Oh yeah, you feel that? Now that's happening. You want to hear some of the funkiest music ever made? Then join me every Wednesday night from 9 to midnight on Uncle Charlie's Cosmic Circus. How was that? Oh, are you still on? Shoot, that's all I've got. Well, check it out.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. Joining us today, Linda Isak and Linda Kay from the United Way. And Rob Washburn for our live version of Consider This. We've been talking about the United Way. We've been talking about their looking out, I believe. Turning outward. Turning outward is the new initiative. And during the break, you talked about how, you know, we're four of the smallest United Ways across the country that are doing this, and we're rural. And so, I mean, if we can pull this off, if you can make this happen, make it a challenge that is, you know, I always say if you face a problem, two things happen. One, it disappears, and two, life's a lot easier, and it's a lot easier to face your problems. But one of the issues that people have is, especially in this time of tough economics, is mental health issues. And what kind of conversations did you have around mental health? Poverty-related, depression?
Depression, poverty, rural isolation, people not knowing where to get help or how to get help. We heard from teenagers about bullying in the schools. Yeah, we heard it from all different demographics, actually, about mental health. And also, you know, about accessing the system and how to access the system. We heard those concerns as well.
Mm-hmm. And were there any solutions offered or afforded to the group at any of these meetings? Did anyone say, well, you know what, maybe if we did this, you know, like how walk-in clinics, for instance?
Part of it actually is sometimes you hear things and there are services available, but people don't know about them.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we realize. It's not necessarily that we don't have the services, but how do we inform people about how to access them?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the toughest things is people knowing, you know, who do I call or where do I call? You know, we have a big county here. We have a number of media outlets and a number of opportunities for communication. But that I think is, you know, one of the toughest things is people, even though we have the internet today. You know, we can do lots of stuff through our phones. We can do all that. But that is the toughest thing is finding, you know, where do I call and who do I talk to, right? And some of that challenge, too, is when a person does finally pick up the phone and if they don't get the right person, if that right person doesn't say, well, you know, we're not the agency that can help you, but this agency can, and it's making sure that those people are referred to the right location. So, I mean, we have a service called 211 that people can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That service is funded through our United Way and the United Ways in Ontario. We're not as good at getting that number out there, but it is something people can call for health and human services and learn more about what's locally here. But it's sometimes it's just hard picking up that phone or asking somebody, who do I need to talk to, right? And that's the challenge.
Do you think that's been part of the success of the Warkworth Project, has been able to humanize this process of getting information out and connecting people with the proper paths to getting the services that they need?
I think so, very much.
So, yeah. And also, the Warkworth Project, most people that come, not all people that come to the lunch, but most are seniors. And a lot of seniors aren't on the internet and aren't online. So I think that personal touch is really important. The other place where a lot of people get information is the libraries. So the idea of a library is a hub. That sort of information is, that's where the seniors go. They go to the library to find out information as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. Your job, Linda, Isaac, is sort of new for the United Way.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about how that's different and the work that you've been kind of doing? Because often it's not something we associate normally with the United
Way. Right. So it is really a result of this project of the Action for Community Change. But one of the things we did from the beginning is we really included volunteers. So we included volunteers from the United Way, but also community volunteers. So we had Morris Tate and Susan Abel, Paul Allen from the United Way board. So they were help facilitate all of these, most of these sessions. So that was very valuable. We had other board members from United Way come to the sessions. So they heard sort of what are the issues that that are in the community. So I think that was very helpful.
And what about your role? Your role in this is in this leadership. How does that change things?
I think it just opens my eyes to the issues that are out there. And we use volunteers to look at all the information and sort of compile the information into these different groups. So, for example, mental health, the youth and young families, jobs and employment. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of the point person for it, but I just organized some of the groups and got them together.
I think Linda's become a good resource, though, when I'm out at a meeting or somebody's talking about an issue locally, mm-hmm. I can often say, you know, why don't you give Linda a call at mm-hmm. our office, because she might be able to tell you some of the things we heard in our community conversations mm-hmm. that might help you with what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so that's been very important. You know, Linda worked with us on our Community Matters project in 04-05 and when we did the sort of needs assessment across the county. And she came back to, she's helped us with our outcome measurements, and now we've been working on this project together. But, you know, Linda's gained a lot of knowledge, and she's been very good in reporting back to our board, which is really important because the board needs to be engaged in what we're doing, mm-hmm. and we need to be telling them what we're finding out. And this was certainly reported back on a regular basis and such, so that they are very aware. And having the board engaged in the different sessions that we've done has been very important. So it makes our whole organization think about that whole issue of turning outward. And as we've just done some new guiding principles for the United Way, and that's one of the first ones on the list, is going out there, turning outward, and gaining that public knowledge mm-hmm. and listening to the people before we're making decisions.
Is there any way this is going to get out beyond the United Way, into the community, into maybe some of the town halls and some mm-hmm. of the institutions and infrastructures?
Well, we're going to do, you know, this year is one of the things we need to do is a bit of a roadshow on this and mm-hmm. what we're doing and getting out to the municipal councils and that to let them hear mm-hmm. and let them know that we have this expertise to go out and do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because as I said, you know, in the past, sometimes we make assumptions or we get a bunch of stakeholders together. Not that they're not bringing a lot of valuable information, mm-hmm. but it's really important. We've learned to really listen to the people, you know, that whole grassroots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even today when I hear of things happening and I think, oh, I wonder if they actually asked the mm-hmm. Local population about that before they made that decision, you know. And I think today sometimes decisions are made without really talking to the people, and then you're not really giving them what they need. And as I said, many of times it's simple things that can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and you talked about talking to town councils and our local councillors. Mm-hmm. I mean, all communities, all municipalities have to come up with a way to better maximize their mm-hmm. social service programming mm-hmm. and their community development mm-hmm. programming. Mm-hmm. What better way than accessing this type of information? Mm-hmm. You've done the mm-hmm. risk assessments. Mm-hmm. Now, you did a needs assessment in the county.
Yeah, we did that in 04-05.
Can we talk about how the needs have pretty much remained the same since then, or what has changed between then and now?
You know, I think that was a long time ago, but I remember though that one of the biggest issues was not having a family doctor, and that has changed.
It certainly changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that came out of that we didn't expect was a huge need was access to dental care.
Yeah,
and I mean, one of the things that came out of that was. And we go back, that report, which, you know, was a $30,000 project and has been utilized because there has not been another one done since in the county. Mm-hmm. You know, the Port Hope Community Health Center really looked at putting a dental clinic mm-hmm. when they built that, and which has been such a great thing because lots of individuals have been able to get dental care mm-hmm. through that and through the health unit program. So, you know,
Now, is that free dental care, though? Is that for paid dental care? Is that
typical? Well, there's some paid dental care, but it's low-cost dental care. And, we've funded the Health Bank. You know, Salvation Army and the Help Center for many years ran the Health Bank. Salvation Army's running it now, but mm-hmm. people can request assistance through mm-hmm. that Health Bank to get dental care. OW, apparently, we've just learned lately, has increased what they'll do for dental care. So sometimes OW clients will go there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the thing is, it's been identified, and, mm-hmm. and we're looking to find some solutions for that mm-hmm. because, you know, dental health is just as important as any other health in yep. your body, mm-hmm. and we need to find ways to have access mm-hmm. to that. Because, if you know, today, a lot of employment opportunities do not have benefits.
Mm-hmm. No,
and
absolutely.
So people struggle to have dental mm-hmm. care and other health care. So, yep. you know, we have to find...
That report was before 2008, so we still had a lot of the big industries still in Northumberland. Mm-hmm. We've lost those. So I think I would say now there's the whole idea of the precarious employment is much more at the forefront than I would say 2004 or 5.
Well, and how you look when you apply for a job, definitely. You don't want to say this, but the reality is if you have missing teeth mm-hmm. or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. you know, it does create a negative image mm-hmm. in the person who's interviewing you for that job, you know. Mm-hmm. So having good teeth, or even mm-hmm. if you happen to have dentures, making sure your dentures fit, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. These are services that people who are underemployed or people who are on Ontario Works just don't have access to. I mean, mm-hmm. I know an individual right now who needs to have a plate replaced because it's loose. Mm-hmm. He's got a tooth that's gone black in his head, things like this. And he has no one to turn to. I mean, mm-hmm. he's in a situation where he can't go to assistance because they've told him, well, they'll do emergency coverage for you. But that means ripping the teeth out. Mm-hmm. That means not having that denture. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I said a moment ago.
So call the Salvation Army Health Bank.
So there
you
go.
Call the Salvation Army Community Services. They might mm-hmm. be able to help you. Doug McCann there does a great job of trying to leverage funds. Mm-hmm. And that can be leveraged sometimes from local service groups and such. They have some mm-hmm. money. They do try to help as much as they can through that program. So that is a possibility of getting some assistance through that.
So what should we expect then from this investment redesign process that you're now in the midst of? What sort of changes can we anticipate as you move forward?
Well, by the time we get to the end of that, we will be looking at what our priorities will be and what our strategies mm-hmm. will be. And in 2016, actually, we'll go through, well, actually, the end of this year, we'll go through requesting letters of intent from organizations to look at how they can help to address some of the issues in the county. So we'll be mm-hmm. looking for how we can put together, you know, how we will fund sort of new initiatives and how we will also look at bringing partnerships together to really mm-hmm. look at some of these issues throughout the county.
So what will that mean to some of the groups that you're sponsoring? How is it going to be different for them?
Well, some of them hopefully will still fall into some of those priorities, but they'll all have the opportunity to apply for those funds. So it'll be open, and it'll give them the opportunity to look at how they fit into our priorities.
Now, are there been other United Ways that have gone through a similar process before this? And what's been the community response and the organizational response in those communities when there's been these changes?
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, change isn't easy. So, you do get some pushback. There's no doubt about that. But in order for us to look at longer-term solutions and look at our investments locally, we really believe we have to go through this change.
I know you guys raise an incredible amount of money from mm-hmm. from the county. What sort of a threshold is there, do you think? I mean, are we getting close to the edge of that, and is that part of this process?
Well, I mean, we had set a goal to raise $1 million this year, and we'll announce our achievement on Tuesday. It, you know, when I think back to when I started, it was a lot easier back then than it is today mm-hmm. to raise funds. There's lots of different needs out there.
Well, and you mentioned a number of larger employers that aren't here any longer.
They yeah, that's
huge,
right.
They were huge donors,
contributors.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we've had to look at other ways to raise funds and such. But, I think as we work together, I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity still to raise funds. But I think also, too, we have to make sure that those funds are being vested into longer-term solutions and having that impact, you know. And I think that's really important to us.
Well, it's interesting because you're not the first person to sit around this table and make the same kinds of statements. You know, we had Deb O'Connor in recently,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
David Sheffield was in recently, and they're also talking about, you know, it's great that there's the charity, and we don't want to say anything against the charity because we definitely need it. But really, it's now becoming about social justice. It's becoming about long-term solutions. We can't just keep putting Band-Aids on a wound that needs stitches, right?
So, and that's true, and so and that's why you have to look at that. I mean, and I think, you know, you get you got to look at those root causes of poverty, and you know, things like transportation is a big issue, right? That's a big root cause, and health is a big root cause, and all that type of those types of issues. So we need to really be investing in those areas in order to make for a better life for people in our county.
Well, recently Jason Kenney, who is a member of the federal government. We all know Jason Kenney. And there was one of his constituents who was up in arms about the new tax regime that was being brought in. He was going to get an extra $30 or maybe at the most $100 a year. And his statement to Mr. Kenney was, why wouldn't you take that $100 from me and everyone else and invest that into programming that is required, that we need, like, for instance, the National Housing Strategy? And Jason Kenney's response to that was, if you want to donate your money to charity, then go ahead and do that. Don't expect the government to be a charitable provider. Is that something you're running up against as well? I mean, that position on the part of not just the federal government, but the provincial government, that you can't always go to them to provide the services and you've got to look at charity. I mean, the reality is, how long are people going to have to continue to look at charity before you think governments realize this isn't something that charities have to cover? This is something that the people should be taking care of.
Well, I think our communities today have to take care of themselves. I think that's what's really happened, you know, in our world today. You know, the government's there, they do their thing, but they really, when you look at communities, look how communities come together to make things happen. I'm always amazed at how generous and how strong Northumberland County is when there's an issue, and if we need to look at what we can do to support that, or if there's a need, what can we do to support it? There's a tremendous amount of action, a tremendous amount of people coming together to look at that need. And I think, governments have downloaded a lot of things to, you know, from both the federal government to the provincial government to the municipalities, you know, and it's really been that we really have to work and work together as a community to provide solutions. And this is why the United Way is very much has changed and looked at what can we do to provide solutions to our community, work with our communities to make sure we have the programs and services that we need. And, you know, that's not always, it's not always easy because, you know, we're not like a building or something like that. But, you know, we change lives through the programs that we fund and the partnerships that we have and the work that we do. And, you know, I think, let's face it, we didn't have backpack programs when we went to school.
No, there wasn't.
But we have to have backpack programs.
Exactly.
And it means so much to those parents when the somebody shows up from one of the local agencies to bring backpacks for their kids to go back to school. It just, you know, the stories we get and the good feelings that you hear about because, you know, this is going to be so helpful, you know.
And, well, I remember as a kid, you know, one year we... You know, we weren't doing particularly well, and we received these Toronto Star does this Christmas gift box.
Oh, yeah,
Star
Christmas boxes, gift boxes, you know?
And we got that, and it wasn't the only gift we got that year, but it was one of only the only gifts we got that year. And two things happen when you receive a Starbucks. First, you're extremely happy. But the other thing is you think, for the first time, you're thinking, wow, we must really be poor. And that's a weird mindset to suddenly put yourself into the realization that, you know, you're not poor. As you know, I interviewed Rick Mercer recently. He said he grew up in Newfoundland, and they were always poor, but they just never knew they were poor, you know? Do you think the message of this need is getting from the United Way to the levels of government that need to hear about this? Are they just turning a deaf ear, do you think, Linda? Or are they doing, quote-unquote, the best they can?
Well, I think, you know, when you work with your local and municipal leaders and you work with the, you know, I mean, I've had lots of conversations with Lou Rinaldi and that. I mean, they invest in a lot of social programming and such. I mean, they're not... certainly our message isn't falling on deaf ears, but the governments themselves only have so much money, right? And I mean, you know, our governments today are very challenged and they have lots of challenges they have to deal with. And so it becomes the fact that communities themselves have to look at some of their own solutions. And I mean, you know, the push into the private sector and doing more fundraising, and certainly started into, when I look at in the 90s, how that changed a lot. You know, we got school councils, we got, you know, we did a lot more fundraising for our local healthcare and our hospitals and such. And those were things we were doing, you know, 20 years earlier.
Right.
But we're doing them now, right? And, I mean, it's very, very important. It's very important we keep our things like our local hospital here, and we can continue to recruit doctors, and we keep our, you know, our capital equipment up and all that. We want that here. And, I mean, it's great we have the services locally because, again, we see transportation as an issue. Seniors, I mean, if you talk to community care and the amount of transportation they're doing for individuals to go to medical appointments outside of Northumberland County. And, I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. So, you know, it is really good how we're working together, and a lot of community agencies are working together. And if we didn't have those partnerships, then you know, a lot of things wouldn't happen. Sometimes what happens to us, though, as the United Way, is that people, you know, they deal with community care, but they might not know that we're helping to fund the transportation within community care. You know, just that connection. They're just dealing with that agency. So sometimes we don't always get that message out as to, you know, where what we're doing and how we're helping as best we could. But you know, I look over my 26 years with United Way, and I can just see so many things that have happened and so many things we've been a part of. And I'm very proud of that because I think we've done a lot for the community, and we continue to do a lot. Some days I think, well, you know, what would happen if we closed up shop? But I think we still need to be very collaborative and working together.
Is there a website the listeners can go to find out more information about what the United Way is doing and maybe even read this report?
Yeah, www.northumberlandunitedway.ca.
Well, you know what? I hope that some of the municipal politicians are listening in today, because I think this process is just admirable. I think this report, while it's been out there for a while, is worth everybody's time to read. And because I know that a lot of councils now are going through strategic planning processes, and it's this kind of process that's going to get us to where we need to be a lot faster than I think the traditional ways of doing things. Yeah. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Well, my guests have been Linda Isak and Linda Kay, both from the United Way, and Rob Washburn, of course, for Consider This. This has been Consider This Live. We've been talking about the United Way and talking about the great works they've done, plus the research and their... It's not
action for community change.
Action for community change, and it's about reaching out, right? It's about
turning outward.
Thank you. Not reaching out, turning outward. So I want to thank them for being here. And again, if you've got a suggestion for a guest we'd like to have on the show, or you'd like to have someone on the show, give us a call at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391. And you can always go to the United Way website to find out what they're doing on behalf of the community. Again, thank you, everybody, for being here. Here's the fifth dimension. I figured I'd play this one. I was going to go Moody Manitoba on Rob here, but I think he's had enough of that one. Here is the fifth dimension and Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. This is a positive track. And listeners, you know what? Charity begins at home, right? So think about your friends, your family, and think about the folks that are in need, especially during these tough economic times. Here's the fifth dimension.